May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 261. It is the Lord, enthroned in light, whose claims are all divine, who has an undisputed right to govern me and mine. Hymn 261.
Let us read together in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. And my righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. And mine arm shall judge the people. The isle shall wait upon me. And mine arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath. For the heaven shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be for ever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou, that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if we were ready to destroy? And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God, that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hast drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling, and wrung them out. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth. Neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. These two things are come unto thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction, and the famine, and the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets, as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. Therefore hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith thy Lord, the Lord, and thy God, that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground, and as the street, to them that went over. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his sacred word to our souls and teach us to pray. O Lord, we come once more before thee in all our need, our spiritual poverty and sin and wretchedness. For Lord, thou seest and knowest our hearts, thou seest us through and through. And Lord, we stand before thee now, just as we are, poor, needy sinners. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant to us that precious grace of living faith, that as we desire to present our petitions before thee, we pray that thou wilt grant to us that gift of faith. Faith in the bleeding Lamb. Oh, what a gift is this. Lord, we pray then we may be enabled to look to the Lord Jesus, the sinner's only hope, the only ground of a poor sinner's faith, in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for poor, needy sinners. Lord, we pray for the gracious aid of thy dear Holy Spirit now. For Lord, we would not be left to a form of words. We would not be left to our own imagination. Lord, we would come rightly before thee, and we pray now that our petitions may be indited by the dear Holy Spirit that thereby we may be enabled to ask for those things which are in accordance with thy holy mind and will. And yet, Lord, thou knowest how unable we are to utter anything right before thee. For, Lord, thou knowest what sinners we are and what sinners we have been. But, oh, we would come and hasten to that precious fountain opened for sin and all uncleanness in the person of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Lord, it is that power that we want to know and feel in our hearts this evening. That power that flows from Calvary through that great atoning work of the Lord Jesus. Oh, leave us not to leave thy courts this night unaffected by the word. Lord, so exercise our hearts, we pray, that there might be that reaching forth unto thee to hear what thou wilt speak, and do grant to us the ear to hear and the heart to understand. For, Lord, we would fall at thy feet now, pleading with thee for mercy. For, Lord, without that mercy we cannot continue. And yet, Lord, to whom else can we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, thou knowest our sins, the sins of another day, of thought and word and deed, the carnality of our natural heart. How many of our thoughts have been taken up with the cares of time and sense. Lord, come and deliver us, we pray this night. Draw our affections, our desires, heavenward, that we may be enabled to behold a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer, the only hope of a poor, needy sinner. Lord, it's thee we want. It's thee we desire to see by faith, and it's thy voice to hear. Lord, we cannot do without it. Thou knowest those souls before thee who are truly longing to hear thy voice, who have gathered with a case, a burden upon their hearts, tried and tempted, perhaps as the reality of their religion, their profession, and it seems almost that it's all an empty shell. Lord, thou knowest how tried thy dear people are, as so often we feel the power of evil working within our own hearts. We have to come, Lord, to that point. Can ever God dwell here? And yet, Lord, thou art our only hope, for it was for sinners thou didst come into this world. Thou didst not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And we pray for that true spirit of contrition and godly sorrow as we desire now to fall at thy feet, Lord, pleading with thee that thou wilt come again. Lord, return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. But, Lord, we now come then in all our varying cases. We pray that we may be enabled to bring them all to thee and to cast them at thy feet, pleading with thee, that thou wilt undertake for us, thou wilt direct our every step, keep us from leaning to our own understanding, conscious of our ignorance and inability to do anything for ourselves. Lord, thou must do it. And we pray that thou wilt, if it could please thee, even this night, lift beggars from the dunghill of self and the world and sin. And Lord, do come and set souls at liberty. Bring them forth out of those prison houses, those places, Lord, may often thy dear people feel to be found in, bound in affliction and iron. And yet, Lord, thou must only utter the word, Lazarus, come forth, loose him and let him go. Lord, thou knowest those here who feel to be in that bondage, unable to do anything for themselves, fearing, trembling, oftentimes feeling so unbelieving. Lord, we pray, oh, that there might be a word for their souls, may it enter in and have an abiding effect, that thy name might be honoured and glorified. We pray for the dear young people that have gathered and those not here this night. Be with them each, watch over them and preserve them. Keep them from the evils of the world. Leave them not to be ensnared and drawn aside and tempted. Lord, we pray that thou wilt be round about them, and oh, that thou wilt work in their young hearts. May they be found true seekers after thee. And Lord, that if it could please thee, oh, that they might find thee to the joy and rejoicing of their souls. For Lord, thou hast said, they that seek shall find. But Lord, we would desire that we and they may be found seeking thee with our whole heart. Leave us not to a divided heart, for Lord, thou knowest it's an abomination in thy sight. Oh, we pray, Lord, there may be that true laying aside this night, and of every weight which doth so easily beset us. And may we be found truly running in that race set before us, looking unto Jesus. Lord, we pray that there may be found amongst these dear young people those who will continue in thy courts. There may be amongst them mothers in Israel, pillars in this house, if it could please thee, Lord. Richly bless them, we pray, in Jesus Christ. And those, Lord, of the dear parents, and those that have to do with the things of this world, be round about each one, preserve and keep them. But, Lord, we pray that thou wilt watch over them and bless them. Thou knowest the desires of their hearts. Thou knowest, Lord, all their spiritual exercises, the burdens, the troubles, the perplexities they pass through. Lord, bring them forth in thy time and in thy way. Oh, do richly bless this little company here and those that gather here on the Sabbath day. And may thy mighty power be known and felt in their hearts. And Lord, that thy work, a mighty work, may be accomplished in this place, that thereby in days to come there might be a continuance here, if it is thy holy will. Lord, bless thy servants that labour here. Lord, thou knowest the exercise of the heart. Thou knowest the burden each one carries. Thou knowest, Lord, those longing desires found in the hearts of thy dear servants, longing to that thou shouldest work, that that work may be apparent. And Lord, oh, that there might be that precious fruit brought forth to thine honour and glory. The work and the power is thine. Sustain and uphold and maintain each one in the pathway. And Lord, we pray that all that is attended to might be to thy honour and thy glory and the profit of never dying souls. We pray then for this little church, and seek that thou wilt send real spiritual prosperity here. For Lord, thou knowest them that are thine. We pray, Lord, that there might be added to the church such as shall be saved. We pray for those that carry the responsibility here, the deacons, and seek that thou grant to them thy upholding grace. Lord, thou knowest their spiritual exercises concerning this house of prayer, but Lord, their own cases. We pray that thou wilt uphold them and grant them that continual supply of grace, that they may be enabled to continue. But Lord, oh, do grant to them the desires of their heart, those things that they long to know and to have revealed to them. We pray for the sick, and Lord, thou knowest those that are sick, some in great age and bodily infirmities, and seek that thou remember them in much mercy. And Lord, where it is thy will, put forth thy healing hand. But Lord, that these paths may be sanctified to us each, Lord, that as there might be that fruit brought forth to thine honour and glory, Lord, that there might be that spirit of praise found upon our lips. For truly we have to continually say, thou dost not deal with us according to our sins, or reward us according to our iniquities. Lord, how kind and gracious thou art, and we pray for a thankful heart, for thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We pray especially for those who are in hospital, and Lord, thou knowest the deep paths they walk in. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with them, and near unto them, and may they feel thy special grace upholding them as they desire to be found looking unto thee. Maintain them. But Lord, we pray that if it is thy will, thou wilt grant that measure of restoration. Lord, we would not multiply words before thee. Thou knowest our need, the needs of the people. Lord, we pray that thou wilt come this night and take thy walks amongst us. And Lord, that thou wilt visit souls, that that power of thine might be known and felt through the effect of it in our own poor hearts. And Lord, oh, that there might be that done to thine honour and glory, and to thy praise this night. Now, Lord, we would fall unreservedly into thy hands. Do come and open up the truth to us, unworthy though we are, sinful though we are. But Lord, we have cast our all upon thee, pleading with thee, that thou wouldest remember us each now, for Jesus' sake, and thou come and shut us into thyself. And Lord, may it be a time of blessing in the hearts of poor sinners, if it is thy will. Now let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, as we ask these petitions in the precious name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
In 275, let me, thou sovereign Lord of all, low at thy footstool humbly fall, and while I feel affliction's rod, be still and know that thou art God. Hymn 275.
the word that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening as the Lord will enable me, you'll find in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 6. Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Lord Jesus Christ here is speaking to those multitudes around him, which included his disciples, as he sets before them the manner in which they should conduct themselves in this world. He gives many gracious exhortations and solemn warnings, but he also speaks of those blessings that the Lord bestows upon his dear people, who is enabled by the dear Holy Spirit to walk in his ways and desire to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now we have in this a description of these characters, and they are who are blessed, and they are those that the world would conclude to be blessed characters. But my dear friend, here are the descriptions of the Lord's living family and the powers that they know and they're called upon to walk in. Now the word before us speaks then of the blessedness of such characters which hunger and thirst after righteousness, with that promise that they shall be filled in God's time and in God's way. Let us first then address ourselves to these characters. We see in the context that they're not those characters who are satisfied with their own religion, a form, the outward form. They have those who feel to be poor in spirit, those who are mourning over their sins and after the dear Lord Jesus Christ. They are those that are merciful, that are meek, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. And my dear friend, it's to those characters that these blessings are bestowed, and them alone. And so the great question is this: are we amongst these characters? Do we have the evidence of it in our hearts? Is it evident in our life? Are we under the Holy Spirit's teaching and leading and instruction? Have we been shown our great need and our spiritual poverty? Do we feel to come far short of what we would desire to be and do? Important questions. But my dear friend, that without such who know nothing of these things and know nothing of that desire to have those answers to those questions aren't included in these favoured characters. And so, dear friend, what is the evidence that we are amongst them? Now we read together that chapter in Isaiah 51. And you see it opens the word, that chapter, in these words. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. And oh, what a favour if that includes you and me. Because you know it's not there by nature, a desire to do that which is right in God's sight, and a desire and a feeling sense of our great need, that we have no righteousness of our own, and that there is that need to be found righteous if we are ever to reach heaven at last, and that righteousness alone is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who of whom it is said, the Lord, our righteousness. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. And here, my dear friend, the Lord's people are brought under the leading and teaching of the Holy Spirit to see where they are by nature. And if they, when they know that quickening power of the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, to stand convinced of their sins, unable to do anything for themselves, to be a poor, needy sinner, destitute of all that is good, unable to do anything which is acceptable to God, but to come with that plea for mercy upon our lips. And you know, my dear friend, that is where you and I will be brought if we're a child of God. Not once, not only at the beginning of the way, but it'll be a continual cry, I believe, seeking the Lord would have mercy upon us. Now the exhortation is this. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn. That is, my dear friend, that place that we were in by nature when we were dead in trespasses and in sins. And to know that we have been hewn out of that rock. Have we? Do we have the evidence of it? Or are we still in the world? Are we satisfied with the dying things of this world? I know, my dear friend, you and I, it doesn't depend upon us. We have no power to deliver ourselves from that place, and we've got no will either. Because you see, the world and sin is our natural element. By nature, we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and in sin did our mothers conceive us. That is, within our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. We cannot seek aright. We know not our need. We are satisfied and contented with the world, and we perhaps have an outward form of religion. Yes, attending the house of God regularly, hearing the gospel preached, and yet still dead in trespasses and in sins. But you know, when we are hewn out of that rock, it's a mighty work. You know, a rock is hard, isn't it? Immovable. Unchangeable until the Lord comes and breaks that hard heart of ours, that heart of stone, and brings us then into a realization of what we are and what our sins deserve. Only the Lord can do it by the work of the Holy Spirit. Has he done it for you? Has he done it for me? You know, these characters who are the recipients of these blessings, they are those who are able to look back to that place where we were all once in by nature. and to see that it is alone God's work that has brought us out of that place and delivered us from that darkness of bondage, bound in affliction and iron, in bondage to self and sin and the world. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. And what does that mean? You know, dear friend, our little lives are suspended by a very brittle thread. And that thread can be broken at any time at God's determination. But you see, if that time comes when we are called from time to eternity and we are still dead in trespasses and in sins, how solemn it will be. Because, my dear friend, it's this, to be found at the edge of the hole of the pit, that is that place, dangerous, perilous place, we are found in when the Lord quickens us into divine life. And so, dear friend, can you, can I go back to that place where that work has begun in our poor hearts? Can we see there has been a change wrought? Oh, perhaps it's your exercise that you cannot see that it's a clear work, a clear change, especially you dear young people. Oh, you say, we hear of people who are brought, perhaps in a moment, to a solemn realization of their spiritual state. It's not been like that with me. Well, my dear friend, the majority, I believe, of the Lord's people are led along this spiritual path little by little. And the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, deepens that work as every day passes. And how does he deepen it? He brings us into trouble, soul trouble, and soul distress, as we realize and increasingly have a clearer view of where we are, what our sins deserve, and the awful consequence of sin if it's not been dealt with by the dear Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Well, these are the characters who are found amongst those who are following after righteousness. There is that which they feel to need. There's that which they cannot be satisfied without. Does that describe you? Does it describe me? Is there that which troubles you, my dear friend, that is the burden of your heart? Oh, you see and feel your great need, and yet you feel to be such a sinner. You cannot see, however, the Lord could have mercy upon you. Go back, you know, over our lives. We go back over our lives. Some of us are older, and you know, some of those sins of our youth we're reminded of, and how solemn they were as we were left in those days of unregeneracy. And then, my dear friend, it's a realization of our great need of this salvation, a need of Christ's righteousness, which was wrought out by the Lord Jesus Christ for his dear people, as that clothing in which they are clothed in Christ, and through and in him is that salvation bestowed upon his dear people. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. You know, the Lord's people can look back now and see that perilous state they were in once. How they went after the world and the things of it, careless, indifferent, as to the things of our never-dying souls. We had no real concern over them. We were satisfied with an empty shell of religion. But now it's different. There's something that you want and desire after. You want to know that the Lord has a favour toward you. But my dear friend, you have a burden. And what is that burden? It's the weight of sin and guilt upon your heart as you realise what you are and what your sins deserve. Now, my dear friend, only the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, can reveal that to you and to me. Many today acknowledge that they're sinners in God's sight, but are careless and indifferent as to the consequence of those sins. Many are satisfied with a form of religion, a fleshly religion. They do not have any need. They believe that that which they observe in the outward form is quite sufficient, and that indeed will thereby qualify them at that great judgment day to enter into glory at last. And you know there'll be many then who they'll cry unto the Lord, 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 and he'll say this, I never knew you. Such are these characters who rest upon a form of religion. But my dear friend, so then it's the exercise of our heart. Are we really concerned? You know, it's not something that appears in our lives and then disappears. It's a work which is that will carry on right through our little lives. The concern that we have, especially in those early days, when we do not have such a clear view of what we are in the sight of a holy God, that exercise ebbs and flows. But you know, day by day, that work is deepened in the heart by the Holy Spirit. And how is it done? It's done in those paths that the Lord brings us to walk in. The afflictions that he lays upon us. The trials and troubles that we are called to pass through and endure. The many temptations. Because you know, if you're a child of God, the devil will be very close at hand. And he'll be ever seeking with his evil suggestions to draw you aside and fall into some temptation which he knows that you have a strong tendency towards. The devil won't be far away, but you know it'll be a conflict within your poor heart. Oh, there'll be those times when you're enabled to plead with God that he'd have mercy upon you. And yet you see, you cannot see how it can be until the Holy Spirit shows to you there is a way in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to lay down his life that a poor sinner might live eternally. He came as their substitute. He stood in their room and place. He bore the sins of the whole election of grace laid upon him by his Father in Gethsemane and at Calvary, and there suffered, bled and died for his dear people, a perfect atonement for their sins. His blood was shed to atone for all the sins of his people. He endured the punishment due to them, which rightly you and I richly deserve. We shall know it in hell one day. But but for free and sovereign grace, that God should look upon such a sinful creature, undeserving though we are, to whom he designed from eternity past to reveal and display the wonders of his grace. Now these are the characters, and a description of them are to those who know the blessing in the text. They hunger and they thirst after this righteousness. They feel unrighteous. They feel so sinful and poor. And oh, how it troubles them oftentimes, that's indwelling sin within their own hearts. But oh, the consciousness of it and the increasing consciousness of it, oh, brings forth this desire. There's a real hunger and thirst after divine realities, after the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see, there's the evidence of a living soul. I trust there are those here this evening who have a humble hope that their desires in their heart are to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to know that their sins have been forgiven. There's a hunger and thirst after those blessings, but much more, my dear friend, there is that hunger and thirst after Christ, the one who bestows those blessings, the one who endured so much that those blessings might be known by each one of the Lord's living family. They hunger and thirst. They gather in the Lord's house in anticipation and in a prayerful spirit, desiring the Lord might come and take notice of them, undeserving though they are, that he'd condescend to speak into their poor hearts, that the word might come just where they are. The desire of these characters who hunger and thirst, you see, these souls have a spiritual appetite. They have, they are found in possession of spiritual life. And that life alone must be sustained as it is naturally. Our natural body needs nourishment, that thereby that strength we may be able to continue and get that natural strength bestowed. And you know, when there's a famine and when there's little food, I'm speaking naturally now, what takes place? The body becomes sickly. It cannot do those things that once it did. It's just the same spiritually. You know, if you and I have a living soul and the Lord has quickened us into divine life, there's that which you and I will seek after. And what is it that sustains that soul? It's those blessings that the Lord Jesus Christ bestows upon them. And it is as he reveals to them a little of what he has done for them. Oh, you say, that is what I long to know above everything else. Truly, there are those times when I can say that out of a felt sense of my sinfulness, under a sense of what my sins deserve, under a sense of my great need. It's that that I desire to know above everything else, that all my sins were laid upon the Lord Jesus, but all my sins have been atoned for, forgiven, blotted out, put behind God's back. But oh, it's to see how it was done. It's that dear soul longs to know and have revealed, and to see that it was in Jesus Christ and him alone that those blessings come to his living family. That's what a soul feeds on. And you know, a quickened soul, drawn aside by the world sometimes, and we are not sometimes taken up and overtaken and overwhelmed with the things of this world. And this poor proud heart gets into the ascendancy. And oh, what is the effect? There's a losing in a measure of that spiritual appetite. They no longer have those desires found in their hearts to that extent and degree that it was at one time. They become sickly in their spirits. And you know the Lord, in his love and mercy, because those souls are eternally saved. If the Lord has begun that good work in your heart, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He knows what we are. He knows what sinful creatures we are, and how oftentimes our poor hearts are drawn away. Now, my dear friend, the Lord brings his dear people back in his time. Sometimes he lays his chastising hand upon them. Sometimes he causes them to walk in afflictions and troubles. For what purpose? Let us never forget. And you know, the devil will tell you this time and time again. When you come into these troubles and distresses, he'll tell you that the Lord is angry with you. And oh, my dear friend, sometimes we listen to those sinful lies of that enemy to our souls. It's not so. The Lord appoints every path that you and I walk in if we're amongst these quickened souls. He directs our steps. He's known where we would go and what we would do, the very thoughts that we would pass through our minds and the things that we would commit. He knew it from eternity past. And yet, as he set his love upon a certain number whom he chose and quickened into divine life in time, it is to these characters that he will display the wonders of his love. Because in those paths he appoints for them, they're all in love and mercy to your and my never dying souls. And you know, I believe some of you can say how profitable those afflictions have been. Oh, it brought us love. It brought us to stop and consider where we are, where we are going, what we know, what do we know. And it's those times when we have time to reflect upon the solemnity of eternity. And the Lord brings his people sometimes into these paths that thereby their souls might be exercised. But oh, that those hearts, oh, may once more seek earnestly after Christ and to know him. There is that quickening power felt in their hearts, and once more their affections are stirred up and drawn after a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer, the work of the dear Holy Spirit in the heart of the queer, the Lord's people, as they journey through this wilderness here below. So then, the question is this. Do we hunger? Do we have that hunger? Do we have that thirst? You know, my dear friend, the evidence is this, that you'll be dissatisfied with yourself, and you'll realize that if left in your condition, then how awful the prospect. And the Lord will so stir up that exercise in your heart that he'll bring you to his feet in real confession and true repentance, godly sorrow for your sin, and cast your all upon him. And you know, it takes place when the dear Holy Spirit empties you and me of all that is self, and there's much of self we have to be continually delivered from. This self-seeking self, this self-confident self, this self-assurance that we have, that pride which is found in all our hearts by nature. And the Lord in his dealings with us, especially at the very beginning of the way, but continues right down to our dying day, is to empty us out of all that's false, all those false refuges. That form of religion is, in his dealings with his dear people, to bring us away from all those things. He's emptying us out of all confidence in self, an arm of flesh, and to become to that point whereby we realize it's Christ alone that can save our souls from hell. And that soul pleads for mercy for Jesus' sake. It's not of works. It's not of anything in us. Whatever we may resolve to do, my dear friend, we'll never do it. Because we've got no power and strength, however gracious apparently the desire may be. The Lord must do it. And he will do it. For every soul seeking after him. And the desire is this, to know him, the Saviour of poor needy sinners, and to be found in him at last. These are these characters who hunger and thirst. Are you among them? Am I? Searching question. It's one of those vital evidences of a living soul. That soul must be sustained. We cannot keep alive our own soul, as the psalmist declared. We cannot. The Lord must do it. But you know, he'll make us feel our need that he should do it. And he only can do it. And it'll be a cry as you come, just like Top Lady did in hymn 143. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Got nothing, nothing else but sin. And to realize, if the Lord, you come like that in the Lord's time, he'll show to you that coming in your wretched state, feeling what you are and what your sins deserve, pleading to the Lord would remember you in mercy. It's then he appears. And he appears to that soul and reveals himself to them. Speaks a word into their poor hearts. Shows to them a little of what he's done for them. He raises them up to a hope in his mercy. And that hope, the foundation of which is this. It's in his glorious person and finished work, all that he passed through, that's the ground of that poor sinner's hope. Won't be anywhere else, it can't be. And that truth and that hope once given will never ever be extinguished. You know, it's a most blessed word, those words of the hymn writer, but you know how searching it is to the Lord's living family. We sing it, but do we know it? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And that soul will be brought to being able to declare it. Can you? Can I? It's where we'll be brought. Do you desire to be brought there, dear friend? You say, well, I feel so poor. I seem to know so very little of what you've been speaking of. But one thing I can say, I'm a poor sinner I feel to be so, and I feel to be helpless, unable to do any. I can't keep my own heart. I can't keep my thoughts. Oh, I would that the Lord would appear and remember me in much mercy. You know, dear friend, that's the evidence. You're spiritually alive. It was never there in days of unregeneracy. Is the desire found there? You know, if it is, that work of the Lord by his Holy Spirit will continue. And that work will deepen as you're brought increasingly to see what you are and what your sins deserve, and bring in continually to see and prove your own utter helplessness, and to come in that word, my whole dependence on thee fixed, and there my hope to stay. Well, do we know anything of it? You know, if that work has begun in your heart, and it may be so feeble, and you, perhaps you raise this question, it can't be real. Those desires seem to be so feeble. Well, the hymn writer puts it, doesn't he? Those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids you still seek. Seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek after his righteousness, and to know that though a poor needy sinner, feeling condemned in your own poor heart, that Christ came into this world to save poor sinners, such as you feel to be, and plead with the Lord that he'd show to you that he came for you. He didn't come to call the righteous, but to put sinners to repentance. Now these characters shall be filled. They'll be filled with love toward the dear Lord Jesus Christ. As you behold the wonder of it, of that great work of salvation, all unmerited, unsought for, undesired, and yet, to see that it's all of grace. It is alone through Christ, and Christ alone. He'll fill you with love to him, I believe. And it is he that bestows those spiritual blessings by the dear Holy Spirit upon his dear people. That precious grace of faith to believe. Ah, you say, I come to that point. Do I believe? Do I believe? You know, it comes so very close. It is a vital question, you see. I would not discourage any of you dear young people. But you know, there's many today who rest upon an intellectual assent to the truth of the gospel. And they thereby, in an intellectual way, assent to it. And thereby, that is the ground of their hope of reaching heaven at last. My dear friend, real religion is much more than an intellectual sense of these things. Real religion consists of the work of the Holy Spirit in your poor heart, and by divine revelation, as the dear Holy Spirit takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them to a poor sinner, those things that we learn are by divine revelation, by the work of the dear Holy Spirit. They shall be filled, filled with love, filled with praise for what the Lord has done for such a poor, sinful wretch. And you know, my dear friend, if the Lord shows to you a little of what he's done, and he's raised you up to a hope in his mercy, there will be a spirit of praise upon your lips. Oh, you say, I so lack a thankful heart. Oh, the Lord has been good to me, but I do not praise him as I would. Well, dear friend, do tell him,
You see, even that spirit of praise the Lord bestows upon his dear people. And you know, we have much to thank him for. Each one of us this night, we're out of a deserved hell. What cause there is for thankfulness that he's still spared us thus far. And he will fill his dear people with love, with gratitude, with thankfulness and praise to him. And it will be this, to his honour and his glory, because that is the song of the redeemed as they meet, will one day gather around his throne. The song of the redeemed is this, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, to the glory of the riches of his grace. The field. Ah, my dear friend, we shall know but little of it here. But when the Lord's people are called from time to eternity, oh, their cup will be full then. It'll be nothing but praise for what the dear Lord Jesus Christ has done for such a wretched, hell-deserving sinner, the field. And so you see how blessed these characters are. And if we are found amongst them, my dear friend, those blessings await each one of the Lord's living family. We taste a little of those blessings he bestows as he hears our poor petitions, our cries, our groans, our sighs to him on account of what we feel to be in our own hearts and what our sins deserve. And the Lord comes and speaks a word into your poor heart, a word of promise that you're unable to lay hold of and plead at the throne of grace. Spiritual blessings that are found in heavenly places in Christ. Or every blessing, the hymn writer says, and every favour comes to us through Jesus' precious blood. And it is the praise that Fowley found upon the lips of all of his dear people. From time to time, that real praise here below. But when we are called from time to eternity, if we're amongst these favoured characters, it'll be unceasing praise to what he, to the dear Lord Jesus, and what he is and what he has done. There, these characters see him face to face without a veil between. I leave the word with you. Are we amongst these characters? Can you say those desires are in your heart? You say, I'm so poor, know so little, but I hope there is a desire to be found amongst the Lord's people. There's something in my poor heart which is drawn after them, and there's an attraction to these blessed sacred realities. Oh, that they were mine. Oh, that I might know they are. That is to have Jesus formed in our hearts, our hope of glory. Well, dear friend, and you dear young friends, seek after it. Seek after it in your youthful days. You know there's a wonderful promise contained in God's word, and it's this, they that seek me early shall find me. And you know that's a wonderful encouragement to the Lord's dear people, those who are young in the way. It's a wonderful word that he will fulfill. God has declared it. Seek on. Pray on. He hears those feeble petitions. There he waits for that time, and when he will be gracious and manifest himself to you, he'll not disappoint you. He'll maintain and uphold you and keep you waiting at the throne of grace. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, after Christ, to be clothed in his righteousness, washed in his blood. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Philip Warren will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Fred Ince on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn number 7. God shall alone the refuge be, and comfort of my mind. Too wise to be mistaken he, too good to be unkind. Hymn number 7.
Thine own word, and do pardon all that has been amiss in our worship, but that which has been right, to cause to abide in our hearts, and come and seal it there by the Holy Spirit. Watch over us now as we part, grant journeying mercies, and be with us through the remainder of our journeys here below, and prepare us each for eternity. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all. Amen.